I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Gene Phelps.
I'm Blake Morgan, and this is Prep Rally,
a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Hey everybody, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Coming to you every Wednesday. We were not with you last Wednesday because I was sick. Brad Locke here, your host, along with Blake Morgan. Glad to be back. Sorry we missed.
It's good to be back, though.
It happens. Gene Phelps not with us. He's out on assignment today, so it's just going to be Blake and I talking about high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, a variety of ways to catch this program. Of course, we're in iTunes, any of your podcast apps. Also, stream it online at preprally.djournal.com, and give us a follow on Twitter as well, at djournalpreps. We got a lot to talk about today. Blake, we're fully into the spring sports, so we got a lot of spring sports to hit on, baseball, softball, a little track and field. We might talk a little bit about all area hoops. That's coming out soon. We won't give too much away, but we'll touch on that. We'll also have athletes of the week, as we have every week, a male and a female athlete of the week. So thanks for joining us. And just for the next few minutes, we'll try not to keep you all too long. Let's start with baseball. Okay, let's get updates on a couple of teams. Blake, one you covered last night, Tupelo Christian, also known as TCPS, had a division game against Biggersville, and pretty big division game because I guess these are going to be two of the top teams in the division. But TCPS rolled to a 13-3 win. It's pretty dominant.
Oh yeah, definitely. They jumped out early. They were up 5-0 after three innings, and just was in total control. John Mark Jolly actually got the no-hitter, which was impressive, but also, they had six errors on the night, TCPS, which kind of overshadowed that.
Yeah.
It was either the fourth or the fifth inning that they had four errors in, and they gave up the three runs TCPS did. So, just trying to be consistent. David Wheeler did previews on all the defending state champions, and of course TCPS won last year, and I was talking with him about how the team looked and how he thought they were going to do, and the thought was they're good but maybe a notch below where they were last year, so they're still trying to get back to where they were at that level.
Yeah, they were about 20 games into the season now, and as you noted in your story, they're trying to find consistency, and I guess that was kind of the game Tuesday was kind of a microcosm of their season in that, hit the ball well, pitched it well, but they're not consistent all over the board because they had the defensive issues.
Yeah, right. Because if you take out that one inning, unbelievably stellar game.
Yeah.
But with that one inning, it's hard. I talked with Coach Will Lowry after, and I said, y'all really kind of dominated except for that one inning. And he's like, it's hard for me to say it's a domination when we had a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
And they really did. But they just played really well. And, he said Biggersville, That wasn't their best game, and they know that. TCPS knows that, and they have to go to Biggersville Friday.
Right.
So I think that'll go a long way in determining how 1-1A will shake out. If TCPS grabs that game, they more or less have grabbed the division.
Yeah.
And so, especially if they blast Biggersville at Biggersville, then, I think it – I think it'll signify that TCBS is really starting to round into form as the season winds down.
And 1A can be pretty tough in baseball around here, but we'd have to at least consider them in the running to get back to Pearl.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they have a big team for 1A. Like I can't remember the roster size, but they got a number of players for 1A, which isn't very normal. John Mark Jolly, he's had a great year on the mound for them. And, and of course they have the experience doing it last year.
Yeah. Well, Will Lowry has really cultivated a good baseball culture there at TCPS over the years. And he brings kids up and does camps with them. They arrived for the varsity program ready to go.
Oh, yeah. And, you may look at their record, which I think they're like 12-8 or something.
Yeah.
And I say, that's not – that impressive. But, I mean, they've played Oxford this year. They played DeSoto Central this year, who I talked to Tupelo's head coach, Justin Reed, you know, because they were just going to go play DeSoto Central. He's like, man, that's going to be a rough game for us. And that's a 6A Tupelo team, you know, telling me that. So for TCPS to go and, you know, face those kind of teams earlier in the year, it really prepares them for 1A. It really, you know, kind of slows the game down for them.
Yeah. And speaking of Justin Reed and the Tupelo Golden Wave, they're off to a good start. I say start. Again, we're about probably three-fourths of the
deep
way into the season.
Yeah.
But they're 6-0 in division. They took care of Columbus, I think, twice last week. And,
Three times. Two times on Tuesday and then once on Friday.
And then they beat Hernando last night, I think it was. If I'm not mistaken, I have to go back and check the old Agate page there. But I believe that was the final score. Yeah, Tupelo beat Hernando 3-0. Jackson Bridges got the win on the mound. He's having a good season for them. So Tupelo 13-7 overall, but 6-0 in division. And looks like Blake that they're going to roll right along there in Division 2-6A.
Yeah, that's not totally uncommon, right? I'm new around here, but I've heard they've won like 40 of the last like 41 or something. It's something ridiculous.
Yeah,
like
they're usually going to be the team at the top of that division.
Yeah, it certainly appears to be that way once again. You know, so they I talked to Reed last week. About how do you kind of keep the team rolling along when you are just kind of the class of the division? He pointed out that you have to go play these out-of-division games, which on Saturday they played DeSoto Central. They won 5-1, which that was the big measuring stick he wanted to see. So they obviously had a really good game. They did a doubleheader that day. They lost 8-2 to Lewisburg. But, you know, so they're trying to stay sharp, you know, even though that they aren't challenged all too much in the division, trying to stay sharp for when they get into play.
Yeah, and they're going to go travel to Grenada this Saturday, the day after. They'll play Hernando again. They played at the road Tuesday night at Hernando. They get Hernando at home Friday, then they'll play at Grenada on Saturday. So
I will be there Friday.
There you go.
So look for that.
Tupelo doing pretty well there. Let's talk softball. This is no surprise. Morville is having a good season.
Oh, wow. That was shocking. Did not see that coming.
Shocking. Fast pitch softball is also well deep into things. Gene Phelps, who again is not here with us, but he was at the game, had a story in the Wednesday Journal about the Morville's win. Actually, they had a sweep of Newsite, beat them 10-0 and 11-1. So that was a couple of Division 1-3A wins for Morville there. And, you know, you got some familiar names on there. Of course, Hallie Donald, a reigning Player of the Year, Daily Journal Player of the Year. And, you know, she's one of the sparks for that team. Then also you've got Summer Kreider, another big bopper for them. But really the big game and the one that Gene focused on, the 10-0 win, went only five innings. The girl he focused on was Abby McDonald, a catcher and second baseman, had three hits, six RBIs. So she knocked in six of those 10 runs for Morville. And that's the thing about this, about Morville, and in particular this year, this lineup, they actually intentionally walked Kreider and Donald just to get to Abby McDonald, who's leading the team in hitting at 455, but the other two can take it out of the park.
It's a tough line. Yeah, I don't know how you try to get past that.
You just gamble and hope it works out. I think probably the thinking there is that you want to keep it in the yard, but still, she drives in six runs for you. And so Abby McDonald with the big game there. You can read Gene's story, get more info there. And speaking of Hallie Donald, she did well in the pitcher's circle there. As usual, Morville's record 16-2. They're 6-0 in division, so nothing surprising there. Morville is good at softball, really good. Track and field. Let's go back to Saturday, Blake. You got to go out and take in your first Daily Journal Relays event. The event's not quite as big as it used to be. They had several teams out there. Tupelo did well. They swept.
Did they not? Yeah. They won boys and girls in the large school division.
Who really stood out to you individually for boys and girls and for Tupelo?
It was Reagan Cook, obviously, for the girls. She's just on another level. Just so fast. Like, you know, we talked about it
she's
2 weeks ago. Yeah, sprinter. She, you know, is now practicing with the boys to try to push herself and practice. And I try to talk to her about that at the relays because I was like, you know, how do you kind of motivate yourself when you pretty much always know you're going to be the fastest person out there? And she said, you know, I practice with the boys. So, you know, when I'm running with the girls in at a meet, I just have to, I just try to picture that, you know, the guys are trying to catch me from behind. And it, you know, so it, she's got to play more mental gymnastics than just looking at who's next to her and
right
outrunning them. And on the boys' side, did really well in distance, which I, of course,
no surprise.
Yeah, the cross country is always really, really good there. And, you know, that, of course, translates into the long distance and track. You know, they both the guys and the girls seem to be rounding into form as the season's nearing the end.
Myrtle's girls, no surprise, they had some good performances. They had 5 individual winners on Saturday. They had Jenna Sampson winning the 100 and 300 in Class 1. He had Ashley Stevens from Amory swept the Class 2 hurdle events. Mantachie had 4 individual titles. So nice little event there, the Journal Relays they have every year. And we'll have more track and field updates coming to you as the season goes on. I guess are they getting close to the end of the season? I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, no, divisions are like the division meets are either this week or next week.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, we're getting there.
It's done, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's talk some basketball, because why not? The season's over, but we do have all-area hoopage coming soon. In fact, I've been told, Blake, that it's supposed to run in this coming Sunday's Journal.
That's what I'm hearing.
Which would be the 9th of April. Subject to change, because... John Pitts doesn't always know what kind of section he's going
to
get.
It's hard to plan out that
till the day or two before. He should know by Thursday or Friday what Sunday will look like. But they're going to try to squeeze it in. Of course, we'll have a player of the year for boys and girls. We'll have coach of the year for boys and girls. And you've gone over this. Remind me how the first and second team and all that's going to be set up.
So the way we ended up doing it, just because, I mean, you know, Gene did the girls, I did the guys. And I mean, we just look at each other and be like, you just can't make a 5-team. You know, 5-person first team.
It's hard.
It's just so tough. So we ended up kind of copping out, but I think it'll be, you know, it includes more people. We did 7 people on the first team and 7 people on the second team.
Well, I know you've been talking about doing 6 on the first team.
Yeah.
So.
And then, we were doing 6. I had it turned in as 6. And then Gene texted me and said, I ended up doing 7, so you got to do 7. So I was like, all right, whatever.
So it's first and second team. Do we have honorable mention?
Yeah, we have honorable mention as well.
Okay, and then so we'll have all that info, hopefully, in this Sunday's Journal. I know who the people are, and I've seen the photos we took. We got some very nice studio shots, as we always do, from our photography staff, Thomas, Lauren, and Adam. So that's honestly, one of my favorite parts about All Area is just seeing how the photos turned out, because we do this several times a year, and they always manage to make it look like fresh and really cool. So because we have really good photography staff here. So look for that hopefully on Sunday, and also at djournal.com. So that's a little bit of an update on All Area. Let's wrap up the show with
I got a story coming out. Tomorrow, should be tomorrow, Smithville, looking for a new coach.
That's Chad. Right, yeah, I meant to talk about that.
Yeah,
Chad Collins left for Raleigh after Raleigh. Three years at Smithville. So
Had a really good run at Smithville, had 8 wins, 13 wins, and 11 wins the last 2 years. He did not lose a division game, went to the North Half Finals each year, lost to Simmons, I think, both years, which is no shame in that. They're very good.
Yeah.
But yeah, moving on to Raleigh, 3A school down in the south.
It's good to be the coach and the athletic director.
Yeah. Right. So good move for him. I talked with Smithville's principal today, Chad O'Brien.
Okay.
He said, you know, Coach Chad, perfect fit for us. Did really great over the last 3 years. And you know, they're now moving on into the process of collecting names. Yeah, but said we want to move quickly, But we want to do it right to, you know, no timetable. Well, you know, we're going to find the right
Smithville
person.
Has a rich football history. There will be plenty of applicants for that job.
I looked it up today. 31 playoff appearances, 15 division championships.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Definitely.
And a few state titles as well. Two state titles. So if you want to read about it, we had Melissa Meder's story. And Melissa works for the Monroe Journal. I got that online at djournal.com. So Chad Collins leaving for Raleigh. We'll hopefully know who the new coach is in a few days. Okay, now let's do Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, a female and male athlete. We recognize for their accomplishments and their sport of choice over the past week. So let's start with the female Athlete of the Week. We have mentioned her name already.
Reagan Cook.
Yes.
Amazing sprinter. She had four first place ribbons in the journal relays. Ran a 12:52 in the 100, 25:75 in the 200, and anchored the winning 4x100 and 4x200 runs for the Golden Wave for four first place medals.
Good deal. Male athlete?
Male athlete AJ Bratton, TCPS. He's a catcher. Had a really great game last night. 4 for 5 at the plate. Four RBIs, two runs, and a double, and also threw out a guy that was trying to steal second on the defensive end. So great offensive and defensive outing for Bratton.
There you go. Reagan Cook of Tupelo and A.J. Bratton of TCPS are Athletes of the Week. Congrats to them. And that does it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all for tuning in. Again, coming to you every Wednesday. Usually the new episodes will drop in the afternoon. You can find us in any of your podcast apps, iTunes, Google Play. So just go find us, hit the subscribe button. You'll get notified when new episodes drop. Also, you can stream it at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalpreps. Blake is on there at BlakeMorganDJ. Gene is on there at Gene Phelps. I'm at Brad Locke. Okay. Thank you all again for tuning in. We will see you next week. Until then, have a good one.